We are in Isaiah chapter 49 today. Isaiah chapter 49, and we've been talking here in chapter 49 of Isaiah about Jesus. We've seen these fabulous prophecies about him and about the things that he has prepared for us and what he wants to do, actually, for the nation Israel. There's a lot of history in this chapter. And so as we begin reading, we will be talking again a little bit about the history and God's restoration of the nation Israel. We know in Romans chapter 11, it says that all of Israel will be saved. They will have the testimony of Jesus Christ when he returns and sets up his kingdom on the earth. And so let's begin reading in verse 17 of Isaiah 49. And it says, "Your children shall make haste, your destroyers and they that make waste shall go forth from you," or go far away from you. And this is a glorious promise that God gives to them. And you remember we've been studying the history that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and took them captive, 606 BC, 597 BC, 586 BC. He burned the city to the ground and took them away because they were into idol worship, and God allowed that. But they were just there for 70 years, according to the prophet Jeremiah. And so that comes to pass that their destroyers, God said he would take away, and that happened in 539 BC when King Cyrus of the Medes and the Persians conquered the Babylonian Empire. And then 3 years later, King Cyrus, who had become close to the Lord, actually let his people go home to their land, and they came back according to the word of Jeremiah the prophet. And so this is about that as well as being about us, because we're grafted in for the promises that are here for the people of God. And now let's look at verse 18. It says, "Lift up your eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe you with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride does." Oh, that's, isn't that beautiful? I love the poetry of the King James language. And really, we know that the Lord told us that we're going to be the bride of Christ. Oh, yes. And we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is the wedding reception, and just be his bride. I was so moved. One of my granddaughters came to me and said, "Poppy, I just had such a great day of rejoicing and just praising God because I realized that I'm going to be married to him forever." And oh, touch my heart. I mean, that's music to a grandfather's ears, you know. And you know, you always want to be careful who your granddaughters marry. Oh, yeah. You got to watch out, you know. But you know, when they start talking about being married to Jesus, that's sweet. Oh, that's sweet. Because we know we can trust him, right? Yes. No shotguns with Jesus. Just come on, Lord. So beautiful. And that is the truth for us, brothers and sisters. And this is talking about like an ornament upon them. And bring as a bride does, put the ornament. So the people of Israel will be blessed with their children. And will be blessed with the gatherings and the taking away of their enemies. And of course, that was done through King Cyrus. For your waste and your desolate places, verse 19, and the land of your destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants. Wow, there'll be so many of you. And even though you lost some in the captivity and so forth, oh, I'm going to bless and I'm going to bring all of these children to you. And they shall be swallowed up and shall be far away, your enemies, those that brought desolation. They'll be swallowed up, and they're going to be far away. This scripture jumped out at me. I wanted to talk a little bit about this and look at a psalm about it and so forth, that actually God does handle the enemies of him that come against his people, coming against God's work. And we can get discouraged with that and seeing that and being evidently scary things on the news. in our own personal lives with the Lord, and the opposition that we get. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer some kind of persecution, some kind of deal where they're making fun of you and putting you down. And 2/3 of the earth, you can actually die for being a Christian because of the Muslim influence right now. And so it's real. It's real. And yet God promises that your enemies will be far away. I remember a movie, and maybe many of you remember it, The Fiddler on the Roof. A very famous movie, and they've actually doing it in dinner things now, where you go and get a dinner and you watch The Fiddler on the Roof. It's a play. And I love that story. It's kind of sad, and yet it's kind of joyful. It's about some Russian Jewish people that are being persecuted by the Tsar of Russia around the turn of the century. And last two centuries back or whatever it was, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so they were persecuted, and there's a scene in the movie about the soldiers coming into a wedding and disturbing the wedding. It's so sad about that happening. And the next day, everybody's in the town square, and they see the rabbi coming. And they say, "Rabbi, do you have a blessing for the Tsar?" And he said, "Oh, yes, yes, a blessing for the Tsar." He says, "Oh, Lord, bless the Tsar and keep him far, far from us." That's always stuck with me. I love that. That's a one-liner. You know, one-liners stick with you sometimes. But it is true. This is what God's promising. They shall be swallowed up and shall be far away. Now, with that, let's turn to that psalm. Psalm 37, verses 9 and 10 are actually on this subject. Psalm 37, verses 9 and 10. The Lord makes promises here, and they are tremendous. Now it says here in verse 9 of Psalm 37, evildoers shall be cut off. That's going to be the end of it. God's going to take care of it, and He is the one that has the power to do it. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Wow, have you ever considered this? This is said several times in the Bible. And, you know, the Lord doesn't lie. You know, though man might lie, the Lord doesn't. He's not a man that he should lie. And so he's saying here that those that actually wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now, Pastor Chuck has said that he's going to claim Hawaii, you know. Actually, Kauai, the island of Kauai, so it doesn't get all of Hawaii. But, you know, I think it's kind of that literal, that the Lord will actually cause us one day, as He comes to rule and reign upon the earth, to inherit the earth. And the wickedness and all the schemings and all the need to watch your credit cards so that no one steals your identity, that will be all gone, because as the Lord reigns and rules, it will be in total righteousness. And so we shall inherit the earth for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Wow. And just like with the verse we just read from Isaiah, they will be far away. Consider those attackers, but they just won't be there. And that is a wonderful promise. Well, this is very important to me, this verse, because God actually caused me to live out this verse in one area of my life at one time. I was working auto parts in Torrance, California, and my boss was a alcoholic. And so each day he would get drunk, and he became very belligerent and mean when he would get under the influence. And so he'd begin to pick on me. And of course, I wanted to keep my job. I had four little boys to support, my dear wife, and so just kind of stuck it out at the job. But the Lord gave me this verse. You know, He says, it's going to come, the time will come when this man will be cut off, and you shall diligently consider his place, and it just shall not be. One day he came into work, And he got drunk. He called the boss in LA and cussed him out on the phone and put the phone down and walked out, and I never saw him again. And the next boss was such a great friend of mine and a blessing to my life that I couldn't believe it. And so this verse actually happened to me. And so this is one of the promises of God. God's watching. God knows the difficult times you go through. And he is careful and diligent to consider you and your situation. And he will only allow it to go on so long, and then it's over. I remember my wife's mother's favorite verse was, "It came to pass." And of course, when you consider that, you can add to it, "It came to pass. It didn't come to stay." And the Lord takes care of moving enemies and hurtful situations out of your life, far away. And I love it. I love the promises of God. You know how many promises there are in the Bible? You should know by now. 7,600 promises in the Bible. Yes. Yeah. That's how many promises there are. How many do you know? About two. Man, you got to learn some more. Well, you're going to get three today. You're going to get three today that you might never have seen before. And the first one is this one. That he'll remove those that are against you far away. You just wait on him. God takes care of everything. He does that. Okay, let's go on back to Isaiah. We're getting a second verse, a second promise here. Let's go back to Isaiah 49. And we read now verse 20. The children which you shall have after you have lost the others. Now they did. They lost a lot of their children in this this raid by King Nebuchadnezzar. 586, the city was burned up. People were killed. King Zedekiah, it was really sad what happened to him. And he refused to come after the Lord. And he saw all of his sons killed in front of him, and then they put out his eyes. That wicked, wicked situation. So you have lost the others, but shall say again in your ears, the place is too straight or too cramped for me. Give place to me that I might dwell. That the children will be so many that they'll feel like they need to expand their borders. Then shalt thou say in your heart, who has begotten me these new children, seeing I have lost my children, and I am desolate and captive and removing to and fro? And who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? And of course, the answer is the Lord. The Lord is the one that multiplies us and increases us and brings about the blessings of bringing the children of Israel back to their land, causing them to multiply again. They are strong and powerful over there in the land. As I shared last week, they've actually planted 4 million trees, 4 million trees in Israel. And the plain of Sharon is beautiful. And the plains of Jordan, in between Jordan and Israel, are beautiful. It's because God has done that thing, and it is glorious. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles. Now this is the non-Jewish nations, to help them and to bless them and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. The Gentiles helping. And kings shall be your nursing fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers, and they shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of your feet, that you shall know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Just this idea of kings and queens and Gentiles helping the Jewish people. You know, I thought immediately of Harry Truman, our president. 1948, Harry Truman. I saw a special on PBS, and they actually had on film President Harry Truman and the things he said about Israel just before they became a nation, voted in by the United Nations to have their own country again. which is a miracle because no people in the history of the earth have ever been not a nation, and that happened to them about 70 AD when they were scattered by Rome throughout the whole world, become a nation again after 2,000 years. That's a miracle. And God did that because of scriptures like this to bring his people home. And so Kings. Now I'll tell you about Harry Truman because it's such a great story to me and I'm so blessed to get to know him a little better. But he was on videotape and they said, President Truman, how is it that you're so for Israel? And you are part of the driving force that got them made a nation on May 14th, 1948. And he says, well, I grew up with a Jewish friend and he's one of my best friends. And he comes here to the White House to visit me. He owns a haberdashery in New York City. That is a place where they make hats, the top hats. You know, if you remember the old movies with all those old guys, Fred Astaire and everybody. Well, anyway, so he would come to visit Harry Truman and talk about Israel. And he began to tell him the story of the nation of Israel and began to equip President Truman with so many things that he needed to know. And President Truman's heart was touched by God in having this Jewish friend and getting the whole story and so forth. And so he, because of the strength of that conversation with that friend, he said to the commentator on the film and PBS, he just said, I decided to get behind Israel 100%. I believe the Lord is with them. And man, I'm telling you, I could have danced a jig in the living room. But I was so proud of President Truman, so I thought I'd mention him today. And he was one of the kings, you see, right here from this verse. The kings shall be your nursing fathers. The kings of the Gentiles will be your nursing fathers. And that surely did happen when they were established in the land again. And you know, I looked at this part where it says, they will lick up the dust of your feet, and you shall know that I am the Lord, these kings and so forth. And you think of the three kings from the Far East, the Magi, that came to worship Jesus Christ when he was a baby and bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what did they do? They bowed before him to the earth because he was in a stable with a dirt floor. And they were there as these important people. And many call them kings of the East. We three kings of Orient are. Come following the star, however that song goes. But they're bowing before the Lord Jesus, and that is right there in the scriptures, written 700 years before it happened. And I am so blessed with that. So now, I want to spend some time on the last clause in this verse for you and I. For we are grafted in. If you be Christ, you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so these promises that we see in the Old Testament belong to us. And I quote that over and over again for someone to argue with that idea, but it's just not true. We're grafted in. We are God's Israel. Yeah, that's sweet. What it says here at the end of verse 23, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Oh, we have to learn how to wait on the Lord. So important for us as Christians to learn that lesson, to have patience. Tribulation in our lives actually works patience. You'll get better at patience as you go through your trials. That we might be entire and complete, wanting nothing, meaning that everything that we need and everything we should be would not be wanting or lacking in any way. As we learn to wait on the Lord. There's three things that God can say when you say a prayer. Yes, no, and the third one's the hardest. Wait. That's hard on a lot of us. We're impatient. Lord, please do this and hurry up. Don't you realize that you have to hurry up on this? Is there a place where I can put expedite? I used to be an expediter, one of my first jobs. I'm going to put the expedite sign on this one, you know. Run this through quickly. Get it done faster, Lord. But, you know, we got to wait on the Lord. We do. It's so important to do that. is to learn how to wait on the Lord. Now, I'd like to, with that, just turn to Psalm 27 and verses 13 and 14. We had this on Wednesday night, and it's so good, we're going to do it again. Psalm 27 and verses 13 and 14. Says this, this is the King James translation. All the rest are kind of don't measure up. So it says here in verse 13, I had fainted, and it is true that we get tempted to faint sometimes, to just really give up. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hey, we're in the land of the living as believers in Jesus Christ. And as we wait upon Him, we can believe Him to make the situation turn out good. For all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. And the Lord never lies. His scripture always comes true. And so we see, I had fainted, yes, I had almost fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Yes, He is made strong in my weakness. That's what I'm told in 2 Corinthians 10:12. I can depend on Him to strengthen my heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So kind of a double emphasis here in verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And as we wait on the Lord, He will renew our strength. He will strengthen our hearts. And we will walk and not be weary and run and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord, how to wait on You. And as we wait on Him, the perfect solution arises. And we look back and go, Lord, thank You. You took care of it just like You said You would. He's the one that can do it. You know, I want to give you a testimony about this. It's always touched my heart. Sherry and I read a book by Catherine Marshall, Peter Marshall's wife. Peter Marshall was the chaplain of the Senate in 1948, and he loved the Lord. During the time of the war is when Peter Marshall was the chaplain, so I don't know if he made it to 1948 or not, I'm not sure. But anyway, they did a movie about him and a book called A Man Called Peter. If you ever get a chance to read that book or see that movie, go for it. His wife was Catherine. She wrote a book on prayer that's to die for. Well, we don't want to die, we want to keep living. Anyway, so in this prayer book, she had a testimony of an example of a man that waited on the Lord. This man was in a fire in Japan, about on the 11th floor of a tall building, and he didn't know what to do. He knew that his door was hot, and he knew that you, in a fire, if there's a fire, you don't open a hot door because the flames will come in and suck you up. So he's just going, Lord, what do I do? It's way high in the air, and there were no stairs to get down. And so the Lord said, wait, wait. You know, come on. You know, that's kind of hard to take. But you know what? He settled his heart down. He says, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait. So in the course of time, the Lord said, tie your sheets together. I said, well, how many sheets are in here, Lord? I mean, I'm on the 11th floor. I'm going to need about 34,000 sheets, you know. But he just tie your sheets together. So he took his two sheets, tied them together with a good knot that held. If that was me, it would have to be a different experience because I don't know how to tie a knot like that. But he tied his good knot, and he kept his sheets on the bed. The Lord said, just wait, just wait. And then the Lord gave him, with a sweet, small voice in his heart, now go over to the window with your sheets and tie the one sheet to a strong device inside the room. How he did that, I have no idea, but he got to have a good knot there. Then the Lord said, wait, wait. And then he said, now, throw your sheets out the window. And he threw his sheets out the window, and they went down, you know what, I don't know, how long is a sheet? 16 feet? And still like 8 stories to go. But just then, at that time, the fire truck had put its ladder up. And the fire truck's ladder couldn't reach up to his window, but it could reach to the bottom of his sheet. And he climbed down his sheets and was saved. And he got his answers, and he got his direction, and he got the blessing of seeing God answer prayer and being obedient to just wait. Sometimes we want to rush in. You know, some of us are doers. I got to do something here. We want to rush in, and we make a mess, and God's got to get out his broom and sweep it all up afterwards. That's how come they had to make that song, I'm picking up the pieces once again. But we don't want to be there, do we? We want to be waiting upon the Lord. So we get this double emphasis here then. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So a great promise. That's another promise for you and I. Praise God. Now let's go back then to Isaiah before we take communion here and have one more promise today. I want to go to Isaiah and chapter 49. And we left off at verse 23. So let's go to verse 24 now. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. So it didn't matter how mighty Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was, or King Belshazzar, his grandson, who was in charge when King Cyrus came in and took over the kingdom. It doesn't matter how powerful they were or mighty. Even the captains of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. And here is this promise. Oh, I love this one. I will contend with him that contends with you, and I will save your children. And God is so faithful to do these things for us. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. We'll get to that. That's in Isaiah 54. I love that verse. But here we have, I will contend with him who contends with you. In the old days, when my dad loved the wrestling matches, and I always wanted to watch Davy Crockett instead with Fess Parker, that was a long time ago. But my dad loved those fights, and they had tag teams. Gorgeous George and Freddie Blassie would get together, you know. Maybe some of you are remembering these things. It's fun. I love to remember. But anyway, they had tag teams so that when your guy was beating up on you in the ring, you know, then you would go tag your buddy. And then the buddy would come in and take over for you, and you could rest. And so they would fight two and two on each side and do this tag team thing. Well, see, our tag team guy is the Lord. And he says, I will contend with those who contend against you. And so you see it coming, you're getting about ready to fight, you go tag the Lord. Your turn, Lord. And you let him handle it. The battle is mine, says the Lord. The battle is the Lord's, said David when he faced Goliath. The battle is the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord. He's the one that fights for me. And so you can just depend upon that and allow him to be the contender. With this, I would like to turn with you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Let's get some New Testament scripture in on this idea. 2 Thessalonians 1. Now, it's Thessalonians is with all the T's. You have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, then you have Titus. And so just look for 2 Thessalonians. Look for the T's in the New Testament. When you get to the T's, then just go to the second T, which would be 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 and verse 6. Now it says here, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Revenge is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. We leave it to Him. Leave the revenge plots alone. Just don't get into it. Give it to God. Let the Lord take care of it. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. We rest in our Savior. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. And so we rest with Him, the Sabbath rest of the Lord. He worked 6 days to build the heavens and earth, and on the seventh day He rested. And Jesus is our Sabbath rest in the New Testament. Rest with us. And then it says, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. You can begin to use this as a witnessing motivation, because this will happen for people that continue on their bad road. They will one day be destructed by the Lord. And so it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And so, you know what? The Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 18. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But some just will not. But you and I, with our unique personalities and our way of living, can affect people in a positive way. And you know, some people are best ministered to just by you, because of who you are. God made us all different. And somebody that can't reach a person, maybe you can reach them. Yeah. I've seen that with my own kids. Yes. One of my sons says to me, Dad, I know you teach the Bible and you believe so much in the Lord, but it's just not what I'm going to do. And I wanted to grab him by the lapels and shake good sense into him. The Lord restrained me and said, back off, bozo, let me do this. And God brought him a punker girl to minister him back into the Lord. The only person he'd listen to, you know. I'd love to tell you that story. Do I have time? Maybe some of you have heard it before, but anyway, we were at Froster's Freeze, which is like Dairy Queen now. And there we were, and my son was sitting kind of in a rebellious mode in the back seat, and I saw a punker girl getting ice cream next to me. She was about 15. And I said, do you know Jesus loves you? And she says, oh, don't give me that. I said, my mother is trying to get me to go to Melody Land. And she's been, you know, working on me and trying to push me over there. My son, I'm not going to say his name, he jumped out of the car, to let you know which one it is, but starts with J. So anyway, he runs out and tells the girl, yeah, my dad's always trying to get me to do the same kind of thing. And that girl, I just felt like Bozo the Clown, you know, like I had a big red nose and one leg had the cuff all the way up to my knee, and I'm, you know, what do I do now? I got these two kids, one of them's my own, coming against me. She starts witnessing to him because her heart touched her. She said, oh no, wait a minute, because he's much younger, like he's fifth grade, she's junior in high school or something. But she says, oh no, you should listen to your dad, and I should go home and listen to my mom, because Jesus really does love us. And I'm going, yes, I'm loving this. That affected his heart. He came back to the Lord. It was so great. Yeah. I wasn't going to share that one, but that's a good one anyway. So there it is. So what was I talking about? Oh yeah, we're still in 2 Thessalonians. Okay, we need to read verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 1 because this really lets us know about our situation in the Lord. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Who's the saints? That's us. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And to be admired in all of them who believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. As we are believers in Jesus Christ, God is doing a work in each one of us to help other people. Because he's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. He doesn't want that day of destruction to take anyone more than possibly has a chance to accept him and not reject him. And so we are doing work for God. Now, I love that old Keith Green song because he says this, he sings this. He says, you know, whatever we have done will not remain, but only what you've done through me. Love that line because it's so true. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that we're going to be run through a fire and all the wood, hay, and stubble, the things that aren't worth anything in our lives will be burnt away. And what will remain is the gold, silver, and precious stones. And that's what Jesus was able to do through you in your life. And that's all that will be left. And so that's the work of Jesus Christ. And I will see that in each one of you. And you will see that in me. And we will admire what Jesus did. And we will remember the things that Jesus did together with us that glorified him. And it will be one fine day, that we will be admiring in one another the work of Christ, to be admired in all them that believe the work of Jesus, the precious work of Jesus, and glorifying him and giving him all the glory. Can everybody just do this with me? Just humor me with, thank you, that is so beautiful. Because that's what I used to see at Calvary Costa Mesa in 1969 through 70s. Whenever anybody did a great work for the Lord, everybody would just go one way, man. It's Jesus, it's all him. And we're going to admire that forever in one another. From day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, through eternity. Praise God. Oh, man. Let's go back now to Isaiah and just finish this chapter with just the last verse, and we're going to take communion together. Now, in verse 26, the comparison is made again. He says, I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. Terrible thought. As with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. And we want to be on the right side at that time. Amen. Oh, yes. God is good. All the time. Amen. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you would continue to use us, Lord, to be a witness to those around us, that they might come to you before it's too late, before you come to set up your judgment situations, Lord. Oh, Father, Father, God, we look to you. We thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you for these three promises that we can lay our hands on, Lord, that as we wait on you, we will not be ashamed. We will not be disappointed. And Lord God, that as we are contending with things that are difficult for us, you will come and contend for us, Lord. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these things that we read in the scriptures, Lord. And Father, thank you, Lord, that our enemies will be far away. Thank you, Lord God. And you'll be very near. We want to draw near to you, Lord, even now in communion time. Draw near to you, for you have said in your word, if we decide to draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The way we take communion here is that we'll wait till everybody's served, and then we take the communion elements at the same time together. So let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this bread, that it represents your body broken for us. Lord, we're getting so close to Easter now, and so close to the time of remembering the cross. And Lord, make this a very special time of communion today. Lord, we know that you instituted the communion service right before you died the next day. And so, Lord God, we know that you really want to touch everyone here. Lord, that you took the bread at that time and you blessed it and you broke it. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless this bread to these people that are your believers and belong to you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And we do this in remembrance of him, showing the Lord's death until he comes, in Jesus' name. Okay, my brother, time to pray, huh? Okay.
Let's pray for the cup. Father, we do come before you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you did at the cross. You saved our life. Lord, you just, by your grace, we're saved. We're all sinners,
thank you, Lord.
But saved by your grace, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that you would just touch each one here and any problems that they have with their body. Lord, we just ask you to take them away right now. And this washes with the power of your blood, as white as snow. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together to take the cup. Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, or the new testament, in my blood, which is shed for the remission of many sins," which would include all of our sins, past, present, and future. "It is finished," he said. "It is accomplished. It's done." And then he died. And so we appreciate that so much. We take the cup in faith, with the cleansing and washing of sin, in Jesus' name. If you would like prayer for anything this day, prayer room's open for you. We do have free Bibles if you need a Bible. May the Lord bless you. May God continue to lead your life day by day, performing in you that which is good and pleasing in his eyes. And you'll be a better man or woman because of it. So God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.